Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, June 15th, 2018. We're halfway through the month. We have 22 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have on the Columbia River bar this morning, we've got 3 to 5 foot seas building to 4 to 6 feet by early tomorrow morning. Seas will reach about 8 feet during those max ebb current times. We had one beginning 6:30 this morning, around 7:15 on Saturday, and another one around 6:15 p.m. today. That's pretty precise, but you get the idea. About every 12 hours, we have a max ebb current time. It's about halfway through the falling tidal cycle on the ebb. And boy, the river just reaches kind of a crescendo. It gets going very fast. Currents up to 7 knots in some places or higher, depending on where you are. Eddies, sneaker waves. When the Columbia River slams into the ocean right at the mouth of the river, there's a lot of wild cards there. And that's why it's part of the marine weather forecast to really warn you to not go there unless you are, say, the Coast Guard or a bar pilot or someone who really knows what they're doing out there. Overall, in the marine weather forecast, north winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20. It'll be up to 25 knots south of the Tillamook Bar in the afternoon. Wind waves from the north, 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart. West swells, 4 feet high at about 9 seconds between wave crests. And today we're going to talk a little bit about why ships float. I love those kind of questions. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule, all these ships that are floating that are coming and going. We have 6 inbounders, 8 in the Astoria and Anchorage, and a couple in Rice Island included in there. And our outbounders, we have 8 of them. Our first arrival in the river is the Black Forest, arriving from China, headed for Longview. Petcoke on board will be on board there when she picks it up at Longview. She'll pass Astoria around 4:30 a.m. by about 8 a.m., so she should already be in Longview there at the dock by the bridge across the Columbia. The Urgina Luck is arriving from Russia, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She arrived here around 7 a.m. if she was following the schedule. And so by schedule, these are estimates of when these ships will get here. It's sort of internal stuff within the industry. It's not like a bus schedule because it really isn't related to the public. It's public information, which is why it's on a website. But basically, this is sort of an idea of when you might expect if you looked out the window that you could see these vessels. But vessels do get delayed for all sorts of reasons, as I've said. Weather, turbulence at sea slows them down. Fog, which can happen anytime, can slow them down. In the wintertime, the bad weather can really do that. And when they're at the dock, sometimes their orders change, paperwork happens. They need additional things done on the ship before they can clear a safety inspection. All those kind of things can change the departure time of a ship. The GH Glory is arriving from China, headed for the Rice Island Anchorage, just a little bit upriver from Astoria, opposite Tongue Point. She'll be there, was there by about 7:30 this morning. The Asahi Bulker is arriving from China, headed for Vancouver, Washington, to a berth that handles break bulk cargo. So I'm going to take a guess, maybe steel or lumber, something like that. Passing Astoria around 12:30 p.m., we could see her in Vancouver by 6:30 this evening. The Pacific Action is arriving from South Korea. She's a bulker headed for Longview to pick up logs. Passing Astoria around 4 p.m., you might see her in Longview by 7:30. And the St. Sophia, arriving from South Korea, headed for Portland. Soda ash will be her cargo when she picks it up at the port of Portland. So passing Astoria around 8:30 p.m., maybe by 2:30 in the morning, she might pull up to the port of Portland. In the Astoria Anchorage, the Aprilia is headed for Portland to pick up potash at the port of Portland, leaving around 9:30 this morning, maybe at PDX by about 3:30 p.m. The Roscoe Lemon is heading for Longview from the Astoria Anchorage to pick up wheat, leaving around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5:30 p.m. Or actually, no, she's not passing Astoria. She's going to Longview. So she'll be in Longview by about 5:30 p.m. You can probably see her if you're crossing the bridge there in Longview. In the Anchorage awaiting orders, the Leda, the New Keeper, the Calliope L, the Rodon Amarandan. There's an interesting name. The Antares and the Golden Rose. And in our outbounders, the Chembulk Lindy Alice is a petroleum tanker heading out of Vancouver, leaving around 2 p.m., so maybe about 8 p.m. you might see her glide past the Astoria waterfront. That offshore support vessel, the Ross Schwest, is on the schedule to leave Portland by about 10 a.m. If so, you'll see her pass Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. She's a support vessel to other vessels that are working at sea in various industries. And so she's got kind of a bright reddish-orange hull. The bridge is toward the front of the vessel and kind of a flat area toward the stern. So she doesn't look like a ship because she's really a support vessel. So if you see her going by, she's very unusual looking for compared to the ships that we see. So kind of an unusual vessel for the river. The Top Grace is leaving Vancouver at about 10 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. She's a bulk carrier. And the Brenda leaving Vancouver, carrying wheat around noontime, passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. Well, I'll post this on the Ship Report website later in the day, the rest of the schedule. That's at shipreport.net. But I want to take some time here and explain something that I love to talk about, which is the answers to those, what I love to call the dumb question. You know, like, why is the sky blue, Daddy? Sounds simple, but it's actually quite a complex answer. And why boats float, you know? We see them all the time. Why do these ships float is a simple question, maybe a dumb question, with a very interesting answer that has to do with the physics of water. And so I've talked about this at different times on the Ship Report, but I always like to make things simple. And while I understand it, I wanted to be able to explain it in a very clear way. So I was looking around on the internet just thinking, could I find a really simple, succinct explanation for this? And I found a really interesting website called explainthatstuff.com. If you go there and look up things about boats and ships, you'll find this. And so I'm going to read some excerpts from it. Very interesting. So let me just explain a few things. It has to do with something called Archimedes' principle, and really basically has to do with the whole thing that I say, which is keeping the water out is really important in this equation. So all boats can float, but floating is more complex and confusing than it sounds, and it's best discussed through a scientific concept called buoyancy, which is the force that causes floating. Any object will either float or sink in water depending on its density. If it's more dense than water, it will usually sink. If it's less dense, it will float. It doesn't matter how big or small the object is. A gold ring will sink in water, while a piece of plastic as big as a football field will float. The basic rule is that an object will sink if it weighs more than exactly the same volume of water. But it doesn't really explain why something like a big ship or an aircraft carrier made from dense metal can float. So let's explore this a bit further. Buoyancy is easier to understand if you think in terms of a submarine. So a submarine can sit on top of the water partially, although ships always have part of them underneath. But if they fill tanks with water inside ballast, they can go to something called neutral buoyancy, where they sink down part of the way in the water and just stay there. Or if they have negative buoyancy by taking on more water, they'll sink all the way to the bottom. So ships do sort of the same thing. Ships really don't float on top of the water. They rely on being able to partially sink. And they sink to different degrees depending on how much cargo they have on board. So this has to do with weight. It has to do – so they want some sort of neutral buoyancy happening where they are sinking or down just enough in the water to still be safe but to maintain stability and to be able to operate. So this has to do with something called Archimedes' principle. A Greek mathematician, sometime in the 3rd century BC, he came up with this famous law of physics called Archimedes' principle, that when something is resting in or on the water, it feels an upward force equal to the weight of the water that it's pushing aside or displacing. If an object is completely submerged, this buoyant force pushing upwards effectively reduces its weight, so it seems to weigh less when it's underwater. And you'll notice that if you're in a pool, you seem to weigh less than you do when you sort of drag yourself out of the water. So This whole thing, this Archimedes principle, is why as long as the ship is abiding by Archimedes principle, it will continue to float. Now, why don't boats just capsize? Why are they stable? Because of something called center of gravity. The lower the center of gravity is, ships usually have their engines way down in the bottom and they carry ballast and things to help keep that weight low so that they will spring back up if they were to roll over, which ships do roll a lot, especially in bad weather. But because they have their center of gravity very low, they continue to remain buoyant. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.